Life Management Science Labs would like to acknowledge that we live and produce this podcast on the traditional lands of the Wurundjeri people. We'd also like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the lands of our listeners and our international colleagues. We'd like to thank and pay our respects to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Hi, everyone, and welcome to Room by Room, the Home Organization Science Insights podcast, produced by LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. We're champions of life management science, providing structured insights informed by science and inspired by practice on key aspects of conscious living. Each week, we bring you scientific and practical insights on each element with the expert knowledge of professionals in the field. I'm your host, Gabriella Yastra, coming to you from NAM, Melbourne, Australia. Let's begin. Hi, everyone, and welcome back to the show. We're starting the new year by trying to create and set some new habits to get your home into order. So today we're going to be talking to Dara Zykerman about the connection between home maintenance and the power of routine. Dara is a minimalist lifestyle coach and owner of Less Equals More. Hi, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks so much for having me here.
Thank you so much for joining me. So that we get to know you in a bit more detail before we get started, do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure. So my name is Dara, and I am completely obsessed with minimalism. And it all really stems from being a child and wanting to play. And I was a very curious person. And I was also a very responsible child. So at a young age, I was like, how do I get away with this much fun and free time? And I was an introvert. I liked my, you know, unstructured time. How do I get all of that and still be a really responsible person? And so I sort of backwards fell into some type of minimalist structure in my life. And that was coupled with my interest in sustainability and the environment as I got older and went to college to get a degree in environmental science and policy. And it all just kind of built from there, you know, being very frugal about money, not wanting to waste my time, not wanting to waste resources. And I was just then a minimalist before I even really knew what the term was. And so my way of approaching minimalism is really wedded in this idea of of mindfulness and of sustainability and of meaningfulness. Because in my life, I've always wanted everything to be really meaningful. And that's why where my curiosity stemmed from was like, what's grounding me? What's interesting to me? What means something to me? And obviously sustainability does, if that's a part of minimalism for me, but it also just like works so well together, as does mindfulness. So that's me in a nutshell. And after a 12-year-long career in the nonprofit environmental field, I decided, let me dig a little bit deeper here and start my own business and really live a meaningful life to an even higher degree where I can really create a lifestyle that I enjoy. And minimalism helped me do it. And in turn, I'm helping people adopt more minimalist lifestyles.
That's great. So minimalism, mindfulness, and meaning.
Yes, the three M's.
And sustainability.
Mm-hmm.
We need to find a better word for sustainability. It begins with M.
Yes, that's a good homework assignment for me.
Yeah. Thank you so much for introducing yourself. We also like to do a section called Have You Met Dara, where we get to know you through some of your favorite things. The first thing we'd like to know is, what is your favorite book?
This is a really tough one because I read quite a bit, but I'm thinking about, since we're talking about mindfulness, a book called Radical Acceptance, written by Tara Brach. She was really the person who introduced me to mindfulness, and her work is couched in Buddhism, but it's really accessible, and she brings in other disciplines and thought leadership. That book was life-changing for me, so I have to list it as one of my favorite books. But I do think a lot about time management as a minimalist and as a coach. And a book came out somewhat recently called 4,000 Weeks, and it was written by Oliver Berkman. And it is just, to me, like the book to read about time management and productivity and I love it to death. So I'm going to say I have two favorite books right now.
That's okay. Asking me to decide on a favorite book is impossible.
Oh, okay.
And thank you for sharing two great books.
Yeah, I would recommend them to anybody. That's the other thing about them, is that universally everyone could use these books in their lives.
Great, thank you. And have you watched any movies recently?
I haven't. I'm not a huge movie watcher. For me, TV and movies at this point in time with streaming they're just kind of like little procrastination tools if I want them. So I don't tend to focus that as much on that type of media.
And what about podcasts?
I do like podcasts. I can't wait to listen to this podcast more. Right now, I find that I listen to a lot of podcasts from comedians, that when I'm listening to a podcast, I sort of am in a mode where I just kind of want to be a little entertained and a little educated. So my favorite one right now is called Blocks by Neil Brennan. He's a comedian. He's a comedy writer. He has really wonderful guests come on. It's funny, but it's also interesting to delve into what are people's blocks. Like, what do they feel are kind of strange characteristics that they hold, and how do they navigate them? So there's some learning there. There's some self-reflection and a lot of humor.
I think it's really great to find those podcasts with humor and also, you know, something to learn from, because
exactly,
I don't want to listen to some boring podcast where people lecture you about things. So having a bit of humor is really great, because it makes you engage and want to listen.
Absolutely.
So thank you for that suggestion.
No problem.
And do you have a role model?
I don't. I've always, when I was younger, I found this to be a little bit peculiar about myself, because I knew so many other people who had them. But it was just it's very difficult for me to look at one person and think, oh, this is it. I think my way of being has just been to make myself into the person that I want to have as a role model. And so I just tend to look, especially as an introvert, I tend to look inward a lot. So I would say I don't have one, but I hope to be my own role model someday.
That's really lovely. I think, yeah, like everyone's got their own flaws. So I think that, you know, looking to any one person as your role model can be, you know, maybe not the best. So just trying to, I guess, make sure that you are the person that you want to be is more important.
Yes.
And have you done any courses that have inspired you?
I haven't done a whole lot of courses as an adult. I tend to do a lot of reading, you know, listening to podcasts, or, you know, finding learning through other media. So in thinking about that question, I because I brought up sustainability, I can't help but think that the classes that or courses that inspired me the most were my environmental science classes in college, because that was at a time where my thinking, I wouldn't say like changed completely, but it was turned 180 and just kind of like elevated to a whole new level of information that I really didn't have before. So it was somewhat eye-opening, and it really inspired me to do everything I've done since then. So in terms of inspiration, it was life-changing for me.
Yeah, I think that, you know, those courses we take when, you know, we're young, we're still a little bit malleable, so important for us.
Exactly.
So how do you define home organization?
I tend to define home organization through feelings rather than output. One of the problems that I've seen in the sort of home organizing world is that things are supposed to look a certain way. And I have found with the people I've worked with that actually creates more problems than it does solve them. So when I think of home organization, I'm thinking about a feeling, a sense of ease, some pride. If you feel like you know how to get what you need to get, and you're not embarrassed to have people over, and you can move throughout your home with that ease, then your home is at least organized enough. I'm sure it can be optimized, of course, but that to me is what home organization is actually about.
Mm. I did sort of notice this the other day. We had people in our house for the first time in a while. And I was like, oh, my house is so messy, and I tidied up and stuff. It wasn't perfect, but I was like, this is good enough for them mm-hmm. to come in. And yeah. this is fine.
Yes, exactly. It doesn't have to be perfect. And it is why, and I'm sure we'll talk about this more, but it is why I specifically enjoy a minimalist lifestyle, because minimalism does a lot of that home organizing work for you. So a minimalist still has to clean dishes and tidy up, but the sort of home organization weight is lifted, because you know where things are and you don't have too many of them. And that's what really ends up helping with that ease, that bit of pride, that just sense of home and a really like good feeling when you're there.
I do have to admit, I'm not a minimalist. I'm very much a has too many things person. So I'm looking forward to learning more about, you know, your thoughts and maybe applying it to my own home.
Wonderful.
Great. But I think, you know, before we get started, I do like to sort of bring in some definitions so that we know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So like, how does routine, like, what is the connection between, you know, routine and home maintenance?
Yeah. So routine to me is about having like little to no thought or effort to complete a task. So when it comes to home maintenance, these are our home specific related tasks. And there should be some sort of consistency in its occurrence. And I don't mean consistency like always happening, but consistency could be once a year. As long as that's just happening and the homeowner or the home dweller knows that there isn't a hurdle or an obstacle they have to go through. So that's what I would say a routine is just this sort of not exactly effortless, but something where a lot of thought and concern isn't being attributed to a task.
That's interesting, because I mean, I see where you're coming from with routine in the sense of not having a lot of thought or worry going into it. You know, when I wake up in the morning, my brain's not working and I make my breakfast in a very routine way, so I don't have to think about it.
Yeah.
But I can't imagine having that kind of thought when it comes to the home. Like, you still have to think about doing it, and you're not doing it every day. So you have to put thought into it. So how do you make it easier?
The sort of main principle that things are built around is making sure everything in your home has a home. So when things are out of order, what that means is that there is an order. It's just been messed up. So a routine of, let's say, tidying up would simply be returning things to their home. So the routine wouldn't have a lot of thought in it, because you know where the homes are for everything. And the effort is minimal. Like, you are physically moving things, but you're not moving things in a way where you're like creating more of a mess, or hopefully the homes that you've chosen for all of your items are easily accessible as they should be. So that's why it would be less effort. Now, the consistency part, I know, can be a bit effortful for some folks, and that's because the routine hasn't been established. The point of the routine is that you're just, it becomes like making breakfast every morning.
Mm-hmm. So how do you set that routine? How do you create it?
You start small. There are a few different ways of doing it, but regardless of the way, you've got to start small. If you start with a big routine, you're setting yourself up for failure. And I this is not a unique opinion of mine. This is pretty much tried and true. So to set that routine, first of all, you're going to want to choose a routine that it's an easy thing, right? You don't want to talk about a routine that's cleaning and tidying up your entire home. You're going to pick something very small. Second, you want it to be something where you've identified what time of day it's going to happen, or day of the week. So there's some time element that's been established and is very, very clear to you. If you say, oh, I'm going to, you know, reorganize my bookshelf this week, that means absolutely nothing. This week becomes next week. There's like, it's not helpful. You need to have clarity on when that is. And then a third piece that I like to remind clients about a lot is, what are you doing right? So it sounds like you have no problem making your breakfast. It seems like maybe you don't quite enjoy it, but it's definitely not like problematic for you. So you want to take an event like that, that you're already doing well, and then match it up with like an easy little routine that you can add. So maybe while you're making breakfast, that's when you do the routine of putting away all the dishes or something like that. Now, my focus as somebody who likes to organize is more about minimalism. So to me, putting away dishes isn't really the best example of like home organization, but I'm just pulling out an easy one that we can all relate to. But that would be how you might establish a routine. Putting away dishes every morning is the thing you do when you make breakfast, and you've established the times, it's the morning time, and you've given yourself a associated task that you know you're going to complete to pair it with. Mm-hmm. And that's all you do until you get it right. And once you feel like it's effortless and you put little thought into it, then we move on to the next routine.
Mm-hmm. So how can you apply this to home maintenance? Because I mean, home maintenance isn't quite the same as putting dishes away, or are they the same?
It depends on what kind of home maintenance we're talking about. So, you know, it kind of ranges pretty widely. Making sure that you have a calendar of these events will help you with the bigger home maintenance tasks. So if we were talking about fixing things in your home, or like making sure that they need to be fixed, that's usually something that happens when something breaks, right? So you can't really calendar that. But you can calendar, and I love using calendar as a verb, you can calendar bigger maintenance tasks in your home. And so one thing that I just as a kind of a random example, but something I always think about, because I read it in a magazine once 20 years ago when I first was living on my own, and it suggested that every once a year you go through your, you know, bath and beauty products and you get rid of anything that's expired.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not quite home maintenance, maybe in the way you mean it to be, but in terms of like home organization, that's really important because you don't want to have like expired medications out, and that can sometimes even be dangerous. But having like a day or a time period where you always do that, it could be January 1st, it could be any other time of the year, but I still think of it as a beginning of the year task.
Hmm. Yeah, so this is our New Year's episode. So I'm assuming a lot of people have, you know, finished their holidays, or, you know, still luxuriating in their holidays. And maybe now's a good time to look at some of these things. So you've mentioned, you know, going through your beauty products. What are some other things that we could, you know, look at doing at this time of year, or maybe getting our new calendar, fresh new calendar,
yeah,
and penciling some of those things in?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things you can pencil in on your calendar that I really like doing at the beginning of the year is considering all the appointments that need to be made. This is a time where you're like, wait, when am I supposed to have my annual exam, and start to get those in? You know, we do have other, maybe not home maintenance tasks, but even if you have a car, you might have a yearly checkup on your car. You might know that your car is due for service that year, an oil change, whatever it is. Same thing with your home. There's certain things you want to do to make sure everything is up and running. Like, let's say you have air conditioner. You need to make sure that that's going to be ready for the summertime, but before everybody else calls the HVAC folks. So using your calendar to plan a lot of those appointments and think ahead is really helpful. And then if you say, well, wait a second, I can't even make that appointment yet because it's going to be later in the year, you actually mark on your calendar when to call to make that appointment, which I do as well. So once you get that fresh new calendar out, start getting your appointments in and checks like those. And then you could start adding in these other home maintenance tasks. I find that looking up, and this is different in different locations, so apologies if this doesn't apply to folks, but if you have some sort of waste pickup, sometimes they do once or twice yearly, let's say bulk trash pickups or taking certain types of recyclables. So getting those in your calendar as well, and then you start to plan backwards and say, okay, well, if this pickup or this drop-off is going to happen on this day, what do I need to get done in order to provide the waste that I know I eventually will have in the right time frame? Mm-hmm. So that would make something, you know, these are all ways that you're just making your life easier. You're not worrying about forgetting things. You have a plan, and it's not quite a set it and forget it system because you're still hands-on, but you have it a lot, you have it mapped out better by using your calendar to plan ahead.
I've certainly been in that situation where, you know, it's the day before the rubbish pickup. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I've got all this stuff in the garage and I'm going to be at work until 9 p.m. When am I going to get it out? And, you know, having a bit of a plan. So a week beforehand, knowing, oh, I've got work on these days. I'm going to be busy on this day. I got to put all my rubbish out on this day so it gets picked up. Yes, I wish I did that.
Yes. Well, I have a feeling you will now.
So what are some other like home organization tasks that we should make routine that we need to, you know, put in our diaries?
Absolutely. Well, I suggest thinking about your home in terms of categories of stuff. And those categories do tend to live in one to a few different spaces. But for example, our kitchens tend to just build up and build and build and build, whereas our taste may change, our use of different pots and pans and other types of kitchen tools change. But it's really easy for us to keep stuffing things in a kitchen because it's so cabinet heavy, right? So it's actually kind of easy to hide things away. So that would be a great home maintenance activity to do either quarterly, or if you could at least do it twice a year, that would be amazing. That's where you'll want to go through all the food that, one, maybe has gone bad, so let's get rid of that. Second, the food that you actually don't want to eat, but you feel guilty having in your cabinets. We got to make a decision. You could take it to your local food bank. You could give it away to friends who want it. There are options out there, but saving it until it gets so bad that it can't be eaten and then throwing it away isn't actually a solution. And I'm going to do a quick aside here, which is that often I see folks keeping things until the thing can no longer be used as a way of avoiding putting it in the trash can, because they feel bad putting something in the landfill, but essentially all they're doing is making their home a landfill temporarily, and then it ends up in the landfill. So making sure that we ask ourselves that question, and that goes for everything. I'm mentioning it in the kitchen realm. This goes for everything. This is a huge home maintenance, home organization moment of deep honesty. So you're going through your kitchen, you're getting rid of all those food items that you don't want or need, and you're taking note of it. You're taking note of the fact that maybe you bought a huge 12-pack of something that you didn't actually know you liked or that you would use that frequently. Every once in a while, stocking up on something makes sense, but those are exceptions, not rules. So, and then also looking at all the gadgets you have in your kitchen. Maybe you bought some new ones, maybe you were gifted some. Double checking that you're actually using them. No, you don't have to use them all the time. That's totally fine to have a few specialty items, but make sure they are things you actually do use and really love and make a difference. I have one of those like vegetable spiralizers, right? I'm not spiralizing zucchini all the time, but it is a unique item. I can't spiralize without a spiralizer. And I do use it sometimes. So I'm okay still keeping it, but every few months I'm reevaluating it. And then also making sure things are really clean, even though my role as a as an organizer isn't cleaning things. I do have to remind folks of the dangers in keeping things and not sorting through them, because we have insects, we have rodents, we have gross things I'm not going to mention on this podcast. And we want to make sure our homes are healthy on every level. And that's a very basic level to keep it healthy. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, sometimes our food preferences change. Like maybe you make oatmeal for breakfast every morning, and then one day you're like, I hate oatmeal. I want to eat something completely different.
How did so you see into my mind?
What? See into your mind?
How did you see into my mind? How did you know that I went through a big porridge phase and now I no longer like it?
Yeah, well, because it's not that great. Like, it's good enough for breakfast, but it's not chocolate. It's not ice cream. So eventually it's going to go by the wayside.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, you were saying something?
Oh, no, that was it. So that's an example of a category to go through, like go through your kitchen. And here's a big one. We tend to keep things that belong in the kitchen also not in the kitchen, right? So I find a lot of my clients that, especially that have families, that they'll be like the pan that they make the turkey in, or they'll be like a certain like pie pan, or there'll be extras of things or gifts that they were given that they don't really want that have kitchen items stored somewhere else because they can't fit in the kitchen. And that's another big thing when you're going through like your home maintenance practice, is making sure that everything in the kitchen's in the kitchen. Mm-hmm. Again, few exceptions. You know, everything that should be in a bedroom's in the bedroom. Everything in the living room's in the living room. Even if you haven't gotten down to these very precise homes for everything that I mentioned at the beginning of our conversation, get them to the right place. We don't want the same type of thing, like the same category of things spanning many multiple areas. That creates not only chaos, it ensures that we'll forget about them. And then it also makes it more difficult to keep everything in order.
So we've got a few ideas of what of how we're going to, you know, build maintenance, home organization into our routines. But how do we know what to put in the calendar? Do we just go through each room and say, on January the 1st, I'm going to do the kitchen. On February the 1st, I'm going to do the bedroom.
That's a great question. So there are a few different ways you can go about it. One is to first think of some umbrella items. So we mentioned like expired medication, something that you would just kind of do once a year.
Mm-hmm.
The expired food or going through your food, maybe you do that two or three times a year, maybe every quarter. But depending on where you're at in terms of your home and organization and downsizing and what your goals are, then you might actually create, and I highly recommend this, a project plan for your downsizing project. But to do that, you don't start with the calendar. You first start with, what are my goals? What do I want to achieve? What do I want my end state to be? And then once you know that, you start to work backwards and say, well, my end state is a amazing kitchen. I actually want to buy a this, a that, and the other. I don't even have room for those things. I can afford them, but my kitchen's just a complete disaster. So then for that individual, they would say, well, when do I want to have my kitchen perfected? Well, I host, you know, an Easter dinner, and I have 4 months or 3 months to get it done. And then you start to plan, okay, well, the first step is the food stuff. Then the second step is going through all the gadgets. And the third step is this. And then the next step is actually researching and purchasing these couple of items that are important to me. And the last step is reorganizing it and putting it all together and then still cutting like 10% of what I have. And then the very last step is going to the donation center to let go of these food items and these kitchen gadgets and dishes that I no longer want.
Mm-hmm.
So in that case, that's a bigger project. So you have to come up with the steps first, and then you go back to the calendar and start detailing when each of these items will occur based on what else is going on in your life. So for some of us, getting to the donation center, the food bank, takes a long time or it's out of the way. So then we're looking at, well, I'm in that area when I do X, Y, and Z, and then you're matching those tasks so that your driving is reduced. Or you're thinking, well, my partner is always around. I need them out of the kitchen in order for me to go through everything. They're going away in a couple of weekends. That's my kitchen weekend. So you start to work with yourself, your personality, your lifestyle, and your calendar rather than trying to impose something on it.
Mm-hmm. And also, don't schedule anything for when you've got that really big work assignment due.
Absolutely. And also know that you'll have work assignments pop up. So don't overschedule yourself. That would be very anti-minimalist lifestyle. We want to make things easy. So take things slow. That's another reason why calendars can actually be really helpful, because they take a little bit of the pressure off when you can schedule something for later. That, yes, I want my kitchen to be perfect today, but I can spread this out because I know realistically I can't spend 15 hours on it this week, but I could spend 2 hours on it every week for 7 or 8 weeks. My math checks out.
Thank you. And what are some challenges that people often face when they're trying to, you know, set these routines and get their homes organized?
Well, definitely creating just unreasonable routines. Like it's mm-hmm. the old, I'm going to get up at 4 a.m. and I'm going to work out for 2 hours. That applies to our houses too. Like, oh, I'm going to get up in the morning, I'm going to do all this. If you are unreasonable before you've even started, forget about it. So, and the worst thing about it is like the pressure is enormous, and then the crash of disappointment, and then feeling like, why should I try again? But if you create a reasonable routine that you fail at, then it's a little bit like, well, I didn't fall that hard. Okay, that one didn't work out so well, but like I can kind of change this around. So that's a huge challenge. The other one, and this comes up a lot with home maintenance and organizing and minimalism, it's when people get stuck on what they think they should do or what things should be like. If you think your home should be organized like, you know, the way you see it on Instagram or in magazines, you're going to be disappointed, or you're just going to be straightening up all of the time. Trust me, I know. I straighten up my apartment all the time. I live in a one-bedroom apartment and I'm a minimalist. And sometimes I'm like, how am I spending so much time putting everything away and cleaning, et cetera? Now, I do that because I happen to really, really, really like the outcome, and it's not a should for me. It's like a desire, and it's obviously something I think about a lot. I would never suggest that anybody tries to emulate that. I think folks really need to think about what it is they want and not what they think that they should have. And you had mentioned that you feel like things, you have too much stuff, but I don't know what too much stuff is for you. Too much stuff for you is different than what too much stuff is for someone else. A good routine for you is going to be different than somebody else. So your routine shouldn't be what you think you should have, or what you read about, or even what I suggest. I mean, I have suggestions, but I don't, until I meet somebody, I don't know what's best for them specifically. So don't rely on the shoulds. And part of parcel to that is that routines, the challenge is when routines don't take into account your personality, your lifestyle. If your routine requires you to be a morning person and you're a night person, you just, again, make your life easier. I know how lazy I am. So I developed a whole system to let me be as lazy and have as much unstructured time as I possibly can. and I will do anything to maintain that. If I thought I should be less lazy, I would develop a much more difficult routine for me to maintain, and I'd be less happy. So I'd rather work around my personality and my lifestyle.
Yes, I find that if I try to wake up early and, you know, do a few things before I start work, it does not happen.
There you go.
I have to do everything afterwards, after work.
And I'm the opposite. I will do all of those extra things and then I'll start working later as a result of it, because I'd much rather, I need to have everything done to then focus on a project. Which is its own challenge. but the point is, you've identified what doesn't work for you. So you could beat your head against a wall, or you can just, yeah, come up with a time that works better for you. And the other, I guess I would, frame this as a challenge, which is that we don't test things enough. We don't have like a tester or like a scientific mindset. So we'll try something and then we think of it not working as a failure rather than a test. And then we come up with like a new hypothesis. We test that, and we also have to make sure we're not moving through those tests too quickly. We have to give them a chance. But that's another challenge, is just thinking like, oh, this thing didn't work. It's like, well, did you test a different, slightly different way of doing it?
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I'll be, trialing different ways to tidy my home.
Yes.
Was there anything else that you wanted to touch on before we move on to the next section?
I guess that one thing that I would like to maybe highlight is that I think everyone needs something to ground them in their home and their home maintenance. Hopefully you have multiple things, but we can even just pick one. The example I'm going to use might not be the example for you, because again, we're all different. And it's going to seem a little bit silly, but I very much am a make your bed every morning person. And it's not because I think the bed is the most important thing. I don't think that having my sheets, perfectly arranged actually makes a bit of difference at all in terms of home organization, etc. I'm not doing it because I think I should, because I read it in the Martha Stewart magazine that I used to have a subscription to. It's not because of any of that. It's because I'm leaving the bed, right, when I'm getting up in the morning, and then I'm making a statement to myself that that part of my day has ended, and that I'm going to do something kind for my future self. I think a lot about things now in terms of my past self and my future self. So the self in the present moment is saying, future Dara is going to love getting into a nicely made bed. And I'm going to do that for her right now. And it also gives me a moment to reflect, to do something a bit mindless, and also allows me to do something that has a bit of like a humble air to it. There's something about making a bed to me that is like a bit humbling in a way that other chores aren't. And my mattress is on the floor, so in order to make my bed, I have to kind of like bend down and get down there. I like to tuck all my corners in. That makes me feel good. It makes me feel like I have control over my day. So find your bed making routine. Again, I can talk about bed making all day long, as you can tell, but whatever that is for you, that's something that just makes you feel in control. There's some peace. There's a favor to your future self. There's some gratitude in it. Whatever that practice is for you, let that be the sort of like focal point that then these other practices can build upon. Because as we talked about, we start small with routines and then we build them on top of each other. So that's just one thing I would like to highlight.
Thank you. I love how we've had quite a few guests who have said, you know, make your bed every day, you know, it'll good way to start. But I like how you're saying that's one example, but find what works for you, because I've tried making my bed. It doesn't work for me.
Yeah. It's not for everyone. Yeah.
Yeah. So thank you.
No problem.
So we'll move on to our next section, which is the practices and habits. Mm-hmm. So what's something that you do in your own home to maintain your organization?
So one thing I always tell people is, like, I'm actually not a good example of a lot of things, as I like I mentioned that a little bit earlier about my tidiness. So sometimes I'm actually like, please don't do what I do. But I find for me that doing things in the morning works best. So my home routine is trying to always put things away immediately. So I'll do that throughout the day or before bed, but I run out of steam at night because I am a morning person. So whatever has happened in the previous 24 hours, by the next morning, it's away. And that's really how I maintain the home organization.
So it's just setting aside time each day to mm-hmm. do it, but figuring out what works best for you. So morning, exactly. If you're a morning person, evening, mm-hmm. if you're an evening person.
And some people are I feel like the afternoon gets overlooked a lot. When I worked in an office environment, there were certain people who went to the gym every day at like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And it seemed crazy to me. I could not imagine for the life of me doing something like that. But for those people, it was just like, that was it. And so I think sometimes we forget that there's things other than the morning and nighttime. And I'm guilty of this too. Like I forget to say it. But if you are like a lunchtime, hey, I got the maximum energy right now. Hey, for your lunch break, get something else done too during the afternoon. So yeah, anytime that works for you.
Okay, so we'll move on to the questions from the audience. So our first question is, are there any specific daily or weekly home maintenance routines that you recommend for individuals or families looking to keep their homes in order?
Definitely. And now I feel a little bit like a broken record, but I'm hoping that's going to help it stick, is putting everything away to its respectable home. And if you don't have a home for it, put it on your calendar to work on that organizing project. Because when I'm saying organizing project here, what I'm really saying is getting rid of a lot of stuff. So it's either gotten rid of and its new home is not in your home, or you're establishing a home for it in your home. So that's really your daily, weekly stuff should be around, here's an item, where does it go, and making some tough decisions if it doesn't have a home already established in your home.
Okay, so there shouldn't really be any like routines other than putting away that are weekly or daily.
Yeah, I find that if you try to do more than that, you're bringing too many projects into your like regular lifestyle. I like to treat projects really as projects and then have steps and calendar them so that they wouldn't be a part of that. They would be part of the calendaring we were talking about earlier.
Okay. And I know you talked a bit before about calendars, but are there any innovative tools or calendars or apps or technologies that you recommend for individuals looking to streamline their home organization routines?
This is a tough one because I actually really try not to make recommendations about calendars or apps. Because I've seen how differently everyone's mind works and how their lifestyles affect it too. So the matrix of characteristics it's just too much to make a general recommendation. But this is the general recommendation I always make. Write down what your needs actually are. Write down how you work best. Are you analog or are you digital? Do you like to see a whole week, or do you like to see a month, or do you like to see a day? Do you like multiple views? Do you have tasks that span multiple projects or areas of your life that you want to capture? Or is it for something really specific? Whatever the things are, write them down. Then look for something that helps you fulfill that without a lot of extra bells and whistles. So oftentimes all we need is like a simple app, and I will mention this one, Google, right? Like a Google calendar, and a super basic notes app where it's really just like notepads and notes in the notepad, and that's it. Usually that's all we need. And then, yeah, if you're talking about like your business or like at work, or you're managing like multiple people, like with a family, okay, then we might need to find something else for you that works. But one of the issues that folks who struggle with organization have is actually trying to over-organize through products. And in this case, the product would be an app or a set of calendars. So we always want the minimum viable product in our lives. And that's where minimalism, again, you know, is the star of the show. And minimalism is like, yeah, like just give me a piece of paper. My to-do, I'm like looking for it right now. I'm not going to go through my entire system, but one element of my system is simply that I have a notepad that sits next to my computer with a pen every day. And when I need to do something, I just write it down. And when I'm done, I cross it off. Simple. Longer term, bigger projects, multiple steps. Yes, I have a digital system for that, but I forget things a lot. And when I remember that I have to take the laundry out of the wash, I just write it down. Simple as can be. I don't use time, you know, I don't overcomplicate it. So that's my answer / non-answer to the question.
No, I think it's good because I think that, as you said, you know, Google Calendar really works for me. My partner doesn't want a bar of it. Says doesn't want it at all. Yeah. And so obviously what works for me isn't going to work for him.
Mm-hmm. And that's okay. We're all different.
So for the open mic section, you have a chance to talk about something that you're passionate about, and it doesn't have to be related to our topic, but it can be. What did you have in mind?
Well, I really want to talk about sustainability, and yes, we've touched on it, but I have seen how people think so much about their stuff, which is understandable, right? These are homes, these are our lives, we care. But we're not thinking enough about where the stuff came from and where the stuff is going. And we're not thinking enough about waste before it's time to put something in the trash can, as we talked about before. So when it comes to sustainability, we're trapped between the minutia of daily life and this enormous global issue that every single person on the planet is related to. How do you wrap your mind around that, right? You read stories about these global environmental issues or even local environmental issues. Some of them are near devastating, right? Well, you can start in your home. Unless you're going to be out there on the front lines fighting, you know, global climate change, start in your home. Start just practicing and learning, because it is complicated. And I like to remind folks that you don't need to understand all of this, and you're not a bad person if you don't understand all of this, and the people who study it don't understand all of it, right? Like it's really difficult for us to say what is greener, paper or plastic. There have been studies on this. There's debates on this. Even reusable totes have been questioned as to whether or not they're the most sustainable. So we're all trying our best here, but I think sometimes we all kind of know what the worst thing to do is. And so starting from there, what do you know? And then what's something you can add? And within that, a really beautiful minimalist home that's very thoughtful and mindful might incorporate some principles of zero waste. So that's where I like to bring people into the sustainability discussion, because we all eat, and food packaging is a huge contributor of waste in our landfills. So if you can bring a reusable glass jar or reusable bag to a grocery store, get your some item of food in bulk and bring it home, step one accomplished. And there are so many zero or low waste products out there now, a lot of plastic-free products that used to not be available, pick one, start using it, see how it works. And the nice thing about zero waste as a practice is it's one of those environmentally conscious things that actually makes your home look cooler and it's easier to maintain, and you don't have a bunch of ugly bottles and plastic this and gumming up the system and filling up your shower. It actually looks really nice. So that's what I would like everyone to just take a step toward. And I think it will inspire you to do even more.
Thank you. I bought a whole bunch of jars for my kitchen. And what I do is I go to the supermarket, I buy my bag of rice, and I empty my bag of rice into my jar. And it'd be a lot more sensible if I just went to the bulk food place with my jar.
Yeah, it depends on the item. So when you said rice, I was like, oh no, I've been there. I just bring the glass jar because rice is very hard to empty. But there are other products that are easy to put in a bag and then empty into a jar. So it's that practice of it, of like, oh, this store, they're really good about this. And I've written all the weights of my jars at the bottom, so now I don't have to weigh them anymore. And you're just, again, little bit by little bit. I would suggest bringing some glass jars with you to the supermarket when it comes to the like really teeny items, like, I don't know, sugar and nothing should have sugar, but those kinds of things, flowers and rice. But then there are other things like beans that you can probably put in a bag, and it's not a big deal to empty them out.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that.
Problem.
And so if our listeners want to find out more about you and about your work, where can they find you?
My suggestion is just to go to my website. I am on social media, but I would just love people to come to my virtual home, which is my website. It's whylessequalsmore.com. And you know, my business is called Less Equals More, but I added that why in front of it because I like to educate people on why a more minimalist lifestyle can help them with so many things like home maintenance and organization. So simply go to my website. You'll be able to enter your email address to join my newsletter. Just twice a month, you'll get some great tips from me, some great content. Real simple, just twice a month. And then you also get my free ultimate guide to simplifying your home and life, which details, you know, earlier in the podcast, I was mentioning if you have an organizing and downsizing project. So we're not talking about maintenance. We're talking about what happens, you know, before the maintenance really occurs. How do you come up with that project plan that you then will put into your calendar? That's what's in this free ebook. So please visit the website and do that. And even though this is the new year now, and so a lot of our gift giving issues have been resolved one way or the other, my website also has a link to my TEDx talk about the darker side of gift giving. And I highly suggest everyone watches that, even if you're not in a gift giving mode. When you start going through items in your house, even doing just basic maintenance work, you're going to see there's a lot of things there that maybe you didn't decide to bring into your home. They just kind of found their way in there. Maybe somebody gave it to you as a gift. And I would really love to encourage people to rethink what it means to give gifts, because sometimes they just end up being a project and a problem and homework that we all have to take care of. And I'd love for y'all to avoid that. So anyways, on my website, join the listserv and also, or excuse me, the newsletter, and check out that TEDx talk.
Great. Thank you so much. You've provided so much for our listeners to have a look at.
My pleasure.
Great. Thank you for joining the show today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. You've been listening to Room by Room, produced by the Home Organization Science Labs, a division of LMSL, the Life Management Science Labs. More episodes like this from across 10 life management perspectives can be found by searching LMSL on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, and other podcasting apps available on your smart devices. If you enjoyed this episode, please consider rating our show, sharing it, and subscribing to our channel, as it helps other people find it so we can grow and bring you more quality resources. More of our work can be found on our website at ho.lmsl.net, where you can join our movement. I'm Gabriella Yastra. Thanks for tuning in.